It's just 3 months until the West Australian state election, and the major parties are bracing themselves for the political impact there of One Nation. Pauline Hanson's party is expected to be a serious contender at the election, targeting all upper house seats and 3 seats in the lower house, including that of Nationals leader Brendan Grylls. So, why are voters apparently turning to One Nation in the West as well? Claire Nichols reports.
Colin Ticknell's association with One Nation goes back a long way. He first ran for a Senate seat for the party nearly 20 years ago.
I was a lot younger. It was the first time Pauline ran as One Nation in the federal parliament, 97-98. I was number two on the ticket. We just missed out. We just missed out on getting a Senate person chosen.
Colin Ticknell is a WA local. He's worked in the resources industry, in Aboriginal affairs and in sports administration. This week, when Pauline Hanson visited Perth to vet candidates for the upcoming election, she appointed Colin Ticknell party leader of One Nation in WA.
You know, we have a parliamentary system that's supposed to allow common citizens of this country to voice their concerns and be heard. And there are a lot of people that feel that that's not happening anymore with the current political scene. So, you know, Pauline's very popular with people because she allows people to have their say. We don't always agree with what everyone says, and they don't always agree with what we say, but they have a right. They have a right to voice their opinion, and they have a right to be heard.
Peter Kennedy is a political analyst and adjunct professor at Notre Dame University. He says One Nation has a serious chance of winning seats at the March poll.
In the lower house, it will be difficult. There might be a prospect with sort of a preference exchange, which might just push them over the line in the lower house. But I think in the Legislative Council, there's a good chance they'll emulate their performance in 2001 when they came out with 3 upper house seats. And I think that they could well do that again and perhaps do even better.
Are those upper house seats, where do you expect that to happen? Is it more likely in the regions than in the city?
Yeah, look, One Nation's vote will be better in regional WA. And that's been its experience in other parts of the country. But there is a feeling in regional WA at the moment with a bit of a downturn in the in employment. Unemployment in WA is rising, and the mining sector's come off the boil. The construction phase of the resources sector is winding down. So unemployment is increasing, and also earning capacity is being reduced. And there's a lot of uncertainty about the future, and for One Nation, that potentially is very fertile ground.
When it comes to the changing financial fortunes of WA, the figures speak for themselves. WA's employment rate has soared to 6.9%, and in yesterday's mid-year budget review, the government predicted a record deficit of $3.4 billion this year, with the state not expected to return to surplus until 2020. In regional WA, new polling shows growing support for One Nation. In Brendan Grill's Pilbara seat, a poll by the WA mining lobby has revealed a 16-point swing away from the Nationals' leader towards One Nation. But it's not only the Nationals who are bracing for the impact of One Nation. Colin Barnett has already said he expects the election to be volatile and has predicted surprise results in country and city seats. And the party that's most likely to be adversely affected by the rise of One Nation is Labor. Mark McGowan is the leader of the opposition in WA. He says it's hard to predict just how popular Pauline Hanson's party will be on election day.
Look, that's the $64 question. I don't have an easy answer to that. All I can do is work as hard as I can, put forward as many policies as I can, and convince people that if you want real change, a fresh approach, a new start in Western Australia, your only alternative is Labor.
Why is that?
Well, because for 116 years in Australia, the government has either been a Conservative government or it's been a Labor government. So you're either going to get a Liberal government or you're going to get a Labor government. You're not going to get a One Nation government. So if you're unhappy with the performance of the current government, and you should, every West Australian should be, and you're happy with the ideas that we're putting forward, the best opportunity to achieve change in WA is to vote for Labor.
Do you see a chance that One Nation could draw that protest vote away from Labor?
I'm sure One Nation will draw votes from everywhere, from every political party. I don't know how many, I don't think they're as well organised in Western Australia as perhaps in Queensland. And they would prey on dissatisfaction with the current government's performance.
It must be said not everyone is taking One Nation too seriously just yet. At yesterday's mid-year review, the Treasurer Mike Nahan was asked by reporters what his government would do if it couldn't get the partial sale of the electricity provider Western Power through because of One Nation's opposition.
Wait 6 months and all the people will leave.
Back in 2001, the last time One Nation won seats in WA, it didn't last long, as analyst Peter Kennedy explains.
One Nation polled more than 100,000 primary votes, which was extraordinary, had the three members elected to the upper house, but they couldn't succumb to the party discipline. Within 3 years, they had all left One Nation after internal wrangling. They'd all gone independent, and when they came up for re-election in 2005, they all lost their seats. And One Nation won nothing in 2005. So it was a one-election wonder back then, but, 15 years later, it looks as if they're coming back again.
That's analyst Peter Kennedy finishing that report by Claire Nichols. It is 12 minutes past 8. You're listening to RN Breakfast.